It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
All right, hour number two underway. I feel like that. This show is just flying by. Oh, Drew doesn't think so because he's having technical issues. He's flustered right now, man. I mean, he's
stressing out.
He's having one of those days. I just kind of laugh because I've had those days before. I've seen everybody have those days where you're like running around and nothing works and everybody's calling and it's just weird. But I feel like this is I feel like that was the quickest top of the hour break I've ever had in this show. Dealing with a personal problem over here. Maybe that's why I went so fast.
You are?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
It's kind of gross, man. I don't know if you want me to bring this one to the air, Bear. I will if you want.
Put it in the group text first.
Okay. You go ahead. Top 4 at 4. It's brought to you today by Citizens National Bank. I'll tell you all my problem. You decide if this is airworthy. I mean, it's nothing like – it's just a – anyway. Go ahead, Barry.
Number one.
Yeah.
This is breaking news from David Ubben, friend of the show. Tennessee tight end Jackson Lowe has entered his name in the transfer portal. The Athletic has learned. Lowe was a four-star signee and the nation's number 12 tight end in the 2019 class. Lowe's name no longer appears on Tennessee's online roster.
Well, it seems like they whiffed on him, obviously, and it seems like they whiffed on the other guy, Sean Brown. They took two tight ends from Georgia, and both guys were like identical. They were both 6'5", 250, and you're thinking, wow, okay, well, they should both be solid players. At least one of those guys is going to be a solid player. Maybe there's not a star there, but just a solid, like, I don't know, who are some of the guys we've had? Like Austin Pope, just like one of those guys. He's not an NFL player, but a solid SEC tight end. It looks like we whiffed on both of them, which is not good. Basically two wasted scholarships in that first Pruitt signing class. So it means you have to get by this year. By the way, Austin Pope, speaking to him, apparently re-injured his back. He had surgery. I mean, thoughts and prayers to him. I know he's got family who listens to the show. That's awful.
Yeah, I really feel for him, but, you know.
We've got
somebody that's had similar type of back problems. He's so young. He's had back surgery already.
And we've got to get through this year now with Fant and Jacob Warren, two very unproven players there. And I would imagine that they will also utilize Riley Locklear, maybe some other offensive linemen, like jumbo sets, which probably
I think,
a good idea.
If I'm wrong, Trey, Cooper Mays has taken some snaps from fall camp at tight end. So,
yeah. I mean, it's a problem. And we've got a bunch of guys who are tight end type prospects committed this year. But that ain't going to do us any good this year. Those guys will be on campus next year. So you kind of have to work with what you got.
All right. Number two, Big Ten football to resume the weekend of October 24th. After the league's presidents and chancellors unanimously voted to resume competition, citing daily testing capabilities and a stronger confidence in the latest medical information the conference announced Wednesday morning.
Yeah, stronger confidence in the medical information. Stronger confidence that check's going to clear. That's what they had stronger confidence in.
And you know, I hate to dump on my buddy and make no mistake, he is my buddy. But sometimes he just says stupid stuff on the radio, Phil. But this is all about money and liability. I think they were worried about lawsuits, and then it came down to Big Ten didn't want to miss out on that football money.
Yeah, and maybe, hey, listen, I don't know. I couldn't name you a single Big Ten president. Maybe there are a couple of those guys, ladies, that honestly felt like they're student athletes and, you know, this is the best thing for them. That maybe that was it. But, I mean, you said it at the end of the day, Bear, money talks and the other things walk. And, well,
yeah, I mean,
money's singing loudly this afternoon.
You know, me and you, Trey, have talked about this all summer, and we all agree if money wasn't an issue, if you take money completely out of this, we all agreed that we really didn't think that there would be any college sports this fall.
Agreed.
Yep.
So, number three, wildfires and coronavirus testing complicates the Pac-12 conference's possible return to playing football. The Pac-12 remains on standby waiting for governmental restrictions in California and Oregon to be lifted before formalizing return to play plan.
What do you think happens there? It doesn't seem like there's much of a push. The Big Ten, like, there were a lot of people who were just demanding that they get started right away. I don't see that from – I mean, I'm sure they're out there, but they're not nearly as vocal.
I kind of feel like that the – you know, out there in California and Oregon between – I mean, you know, you've got the coronavirus, which everybody's dealing with, but, you know, you've got two states that are just burning down right now. And, you know, I think football's kind of on the back burner for those poor folks.
Well, you know, we say that, but they played in that brand-new Los Angeles stadium Sunday night. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe they, hey, practice inside, and we'll let UCLA and L.A. play in UCLA and USC play in the new Chargers-Rams stadium and find a place for Stanford.
Yeah, I saw somebody, I don't know, I think it was a baseball player, one of the major leaguers. I can't remember which team and who it was that he played for, but he's like 23 and, you know, I mean, he's saying that because of the smoke, he can barely catch his breath, you know.
That's why you play inside. I just tried to brainstorm here. I mean, I agree. It's going to be very difficult, but you practice indoors, play indoors. I guess that could be a start. It could be doable.
Yeah. You know, they got to be hating it with their buddies, the Big Ten, playing. At the end of the day, all those people care about that stupid Rose Bowl.
That stupid Rose Bowl.
Yeah. All right, number four. According to the USGA, they have tried to make Wingfoot a little easier for the U.S. Open. The USGA knows the reputation it is combating and admitted that this week's U.S. Open at Wingfoot, it might find some spots here and there to give players a break. We kept looking at ways to make the golf course a little bit easier because this is such a great test. USGA CEO Mike Davis said Wednesday on the eve of the first round of this year's second major, it puts a premium on everything. I think they're being soft myself.
No, I kind of like the U.S. Open. They go out there, and there's only like one or two players finish under par, if that. I like seeing those guys struggle like I do. Well, not like I do. And if they're struggling like I do, they're like, oh, maybe if I cheat and fudge on the score a little bit, I could break 100 today. I like seeing guys struggle, though, man. Give me a true test of golf. Let's see who the last man standing is.
I mean, it's a major. It's not supposed to be easy.
Not supposed to be easy, right?
Denny, I'd stop 4-4. Back to you, Russell.
Citizens National Bank is the official bank of the drive. You can check them out online at cnbtn.com. We love Citizens National Bank, longtime supporter of the show. You show them some love, show us some love by going all online to cnbtn.com. Check them out there. Follow them on Twitter at cnbtn. All right, Bear, is my personal issue, is that, should I keep that to myself?
Yeah. That's
what do you
weird.
Think, Drew? Should I keep that to myself?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Trey.
Let it air out.
No, of course, Trey wants to air.
Well, it's 2-1. I'll talk. Yeah. I don't care. It's not like dying here.
I was cleaning your ears out.
Whoa!
Disgusting. You know? You wonder why me and Trey don't want to come back to the station right now.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely because of my earwax issue. So this is 2 days in a row that I've had yesterday during the show about the same time. I was sitting here, and all of a sudden, I felt something like in my ear, and I'm freaking out because I'm thinking there's like a bug in there or something. And like I reach in there, and there's just like what I assume is a very small chunk of like dried earwax. I'm like, that's...
It's just so gross.
I'm like, that's really weird. I think I flicked it on the floor and just went on about my day.
Good Lord. That's disgusting.
It is.
You know you can get those cones, like, down at the co-op.
Those what?
They're like these cones, and you can, like, you stick them down in your ear.
What?
And you light the other
end.
Are
you talking about a
Q-tip? No. It's like this cone, and you put it, one end of it goes in your ear, and you light the other end of it on fire.
What?
And it draws, you look it up on YouTube, it works, and it sucks all the earwax
out. I'm not
putting
anything on fire in my body. It's just a personal policy I abide by.
The thing's like a foot and a half long, Russell.
A foot and a half long. I stick it in my ear and set it on fire. That sounds great. But anyway, just so y'all don't think I'm some kind of nasty dude who like doesn't do anything, doesn't take care of himself. Like, I shower every day, Q-tips all the time. Never had an earwax issue that I know of. And then it happened.
Q-tips just jam it down in there.
It happened again today. 2 days in a row. This never happened in my life. What's happening to me, Bear? Is this like part of being 40? Is this old? Do I just have like earwax randomly falling out of my ear now?
I don't have those problems because I have got impeccable grooming and personal hygiene.
Oh, yeah.
And I... What the hell's that supposed to mean, Russ?
It's not my style to point out the weaknesses and foibles of others, Bear. It's not how I roll.
No, you go ahead.
I just want answers, man. What's going on? And anyway, I was Googling it. Here's the candle thing. So apparently that is a thing. Ear candles, according to Copeval. And I just want to make sure, like, there's not something wrong with me, you know?
Well, I mean, where do you want to start on that one?
Well, physically, like, you know, something serious. Like, I don't have ear cancer, basically, is what I'm saying.
Ear cancer.
Ear cancer, yeah. I don't want ear cancer. I feel like that would be the worst one to have. Go deaf from ear cancer or die? Oh, the best prognosis, Mr. Smith, is that you go deaf. Oh, take my hearing, Doc. Just don't take my life. I wouldn't be able to do the show anymore. I wouldn't have to listen to your nonsense, but I wouldn't be able to do the show anymore. I wouldn't be able to listen to music, radio.
I don't think Trey's... What are you talking about? Take a shot at Trey's nonsense.
I mean, would I even... Like, I wouldn't be able to hang out with anybody. I guess I could become a lip reader or something.
You can still watch sports and tweet.
It's just the left ear, too. Both days. Same ear.
You think
that's what... Like, I'm jamming it back down there, the wax with, like, Q-tips, and then it's like... coming loose and falling out.
They're bad for you.
While I'm talking, like, maybe. I don't know. Is it like the headphones I'm wearing, the vibrations, like knocking it loose? Because I am half deaf anyway, so I've always got the headphones turned cranked way up. Maybe it's like shooting the sound waves down there. It's like knocking stuff loose in my ears. It's disgusting. What are you doing, Russell? Talking about your earwax on the show. What the hell is wrong with me? Think John and Jimmy are having a similar conversation right now up the dial, Bear?
No, I don't.
It's disgusting. D.R. Vall is next. Good afternoon, D.R. Vall. You're on the drive.
Good afternoon, guys. Bear, have you ever used those earwax candles?
No, I want to, though.
Dude, they feel amazing.
I've thought about getting... I've seen them advertised, but I'm not sure about it. You can get it hooks up to your computer, basically what they use in the doctor's office. It's like a probe, and it's got the camera on it.
So like
you go
a,
down your ear canal,
yeah.
And you can get the wax out.
So it's like an incense candle or something, basically.
Yeah, and you got to get like a styrofoam plate and put around it so the.
Oh yeah, I see it now. Okay, well, that makes sense because I've seen some videos. Like one gal, she doesn't have the plate, and then the other one has the plate. Okay, I know what I'm doing tonight. Oh yeah, earwax candles. Here we go. Let's go.
I'm telling you, it's the pleasure. I guess when you get over 30, you find simple pleasures because it feels amazing. That warmth inside your ear. And
really?
And you can,
so you've
you can
done
hear
this before.
Sucking it out.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, can you
now,
see it? Does it, like, come out and, like, where does it go? Does it just evaporate?
What you do is when you burn down to a certain, you want to get the plate as low as possible.
Yeah.
And burn down to that. And then when you get done, you cut it open, and it's just a ton of freaking earwax.
Really?
And oh, yeah, you could hear a fly fart from a mile away.
Maybe I'm not going deaf from all the headphones and everything. Maybe I'm just full of earwax.
Yeah. No, because I'm going to tell you what we did when I was in school. I thought I had a stroke. My left ear, it just completely blocked up. Well, we got rigged a little something and put warm water and peroxide in it. And, man, earwax size of a freaking pencil eraser came out, and I could hear everything. It's probably just earwax buildup.
Well, here's a YouTube video, The Danger of Ear Candling. NYU otologist Dr. Eric Voigt explains why it's risky to get ear candling done. Not so fast. I don't know. Dr. Eric Voigt has chimed in. Plot thickens.
Probably safer than those diet sodas you drink, Russ.
It's true. We've all got our vices.
So, guys, I caught the tail end of it. What's going on with our tight end situation? So Austin Pope is hurt again?
Yeah, he just had a was it discectomy, Trey?
Yeah, that he had a herniated disc, but he also had a bear. I don't know the right term for it. You're right.
Yep,
yeah,
he had an operation over the summer, and he was trying to rush back, trying to get back for that first game, and apparently he pushed a little too hard. Now he's had to have another operation, and he's probably out for the season.
Sounds like a career ender, don't you think? I mean, I don't know how much.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought, D.R. Vol. I was like, man, that seems like – and I guess he could come back since this year doesn't really count. Maybe it's like, okay, I was trying to rush back from this operation this time. I'm going to take my time, do everything right, err on the side of caution, and maybe I can be good to go for next season. But if you've had multiple back injuries, you're 21, 22 years old – it's one of those things, unless you feel like you've got a surefire NFL career ahead of you, I might just go ahead and count my blessings and go find a job, you know?
Take a medical.
God, yeah. I mean, after one back surgery, man, your scar tissue buildup is going to be bad enough, but you do two that quick, I mean, that's going to screw you up the rest of your life.
Not good, Bob.
I've put mine off for probably 15 years now, just because I've had other friends that have had it and a couple of family members that said that, you know, you're never the same.
Yeah, that's something you don't want to go cheap on your surgeon. I know a good surgeon in Texas that a friend of mine, she went out there just to get it done from Tennessee. Just, I mean, you got to have the right one or you're screwed up.
You don't want to find that Dr. Death guy, D.R. Vol, from the podcast.
Yeah, that's right. Otherwise, just be put to death. Now, Sean Brown, is he transferring as well?
Not that I know of.
I can't even remember the kid's name.
Jackson Lowe.
Yeah, he is portal.
Okay, I'm sorry. I caught the tail end of that. Well, guys, my bookie pulled through. My Nuggets last night tripled my money, so I'm extremely happy camper right now.
How about that? D.R. Vol's in the money.
Right. Yeah, I went ahead and cashed out. I don't want to be completely degenerate. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead, I guess you could say. I'm going to keep betting, but I'm going to get that money out and just put a little in for next weekend.
There you go. Pace yourself. It's a marathon, not a sprint, D.R. Vol.
That's right. Well, guys, if you will, let us know tomorrow how that earwax canned. I'm telling you, it's amazing. It'll put you to sleep. The sound like you're listening to the ocean in a seashell.
I'm watching some videos on it right now. It looks insane. I can't believe I'm going to do this. But should I put it on
amazing
Periscope
feeling
tonight? Would you watch? You guys would watch?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'd watch.
You watch? Okay. All right.
We're going to do it on the back porch. You get enough of them, I'll come over. Who would have the most earwax out of the three of us? Have an earwax off.
I don't know.
I think it'd be you, Russ.
Okay.
You've got it falling out of your ears and chunks.
Well, guys, I'm gonna end on that right there. Y'all
yeah,
have fun with
it's
your
good,
dear. Well,
you have wax on, wax off. Now,
really
to class
awesome
things up a little bit, since that conversation kind of got down in the gutter, let's bring in somebody who can class things up for us a little.
No, yeah.
John Tweet is next. Good afternoon, Tweet.
Hey, Russ, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man?
Do you have health insurance?
Yes.
I'm going to throw something crazy out there.
Go to
Why
a doctor?
Don't you just go to the doctor. Yeah. Isn't your dad a doctor or something? What am I missing here?
It doesn't work like that. You don't call up your doctor relative and be like, hey, I've got a thing. No, I'm a grown man. Maybe when I was like 12.
I mean, but somebody in your family, as I recall, I could be speaking out of turn here, but somebody in your family is a physician. Your family, I mean your immediate family.
Listen, I come from a long line of doctors.
Russ is a disappointment.
Yeah, pretty much. So,
golly.
I'm not going to call up and be like, hey, you know, I've got an earwax thing. You call a doctor when you've got a serious problem, Tweet. Like, hey, my leg is broken. I feel like my heart is skipping beats. I've got cancer. I'm bleeding uncontrollably from my eyeballs. Like, that's what you get. I got some earwax falling out. What do you think? Should I go to the ER?
What if it hurts when you urinate? Do you go to the doctor then or just wait? I mean, this is an annoyance of some sorts. You're really going to watch a YouTube video about sticking burning stuff in your ear? As opposed to just
I do that for all my health issues right now. I mean, I feel like the internet.
Why pay for health insurance?
Exactly. I'm thinking about just dropping it. Why? I've got the internet, and tell me everything I need to know.
If there's one thing you can trust, it's the internet for a medical problem.
What I'm saying. I'm watching these dudes with candles in their ear right now. They appear to be having a pretty good time.
I don't understand. Do you not use Q-tips or something?
I do all the time.
Daily?
My wife tells me that I shouldn't do it because they say that, I don't know, apparently that's bad.
It's bad for you.
Some of it's like natural. Aren't you supposed to have it to keep dust out of it? I forget what its purpose it serves. Don't remember.
What
do
you
want me to look up? Not the cool stuff the bees make.
You want me to look it up for you, Tweet or something?
Drew,
get on that. Find us the purpose of earwax. Can you Google that for us?
I'll get on it.
I think it's like to keep. Anyways, are people? I would assume at the U.S. Open they're talking about. They're not. I don't think they're going to soften the greens. They might move tees around a little bit. Maybe there's one short hole out there. I'm trying to remember it. It's probably like 310 or so, or
yeah. But did you see how
like
long
320
for this? Like 8,000 yards? Is that right?
It would be if it was. What was the length there? 7,500 for those dudes.
I could have sworn it was close to 8,000 this year.
No, that seems like a lot. Maybe 7,500, something like that. I mean, if the fairways are firm. They're going to be the carry numbers for these guys is north of 300. You can make a whole 450. They're hitting 3-wood or driver and 9-iron. It's flip wedges in. I mean, it's just we'll see. I mean, they've got to hit the fairways. The fairways there are pretty narrow. They kind of turn a little. So I'm sure the greens will be severe. I've seen my buddy says people are mad crying online because the greens are severe and sloped and. They feel like if
US
they hit
Open.
The green, they're in, huh? Well, I mean, people,
the
there are people
Open.
That think
what do you...
if you hit the green in regulation pin high, you should be, you know, or get past the pin, you should be guaranteed of a 2-putt, and that's just not the case. It's not always best to hit up a green pin high. But anyways, what happened to Pope? A discectomy or whatever? What was it? The discectomy?
He had a herniated disc. And I think he had a discectomy. I may have had another procedure. Came back too quick.
He had a bacchiotomy. Doctor said I need a bacchiotomy.
He got a disect. That's the stuff they did to Serena Williams back in the day. Y'all be good, boys.
So I found the reason why earwax exists.
Thank you, Drew.
So
the kind of information you come to, fan rate. This is why you tune in, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare to be educated.
So earwax is produced by the ear to clean and protect itself. It's secreted by glands in the skin that line the outer half of your ear canals.
Mm.
The wax and tiny hairs in these passages trap dust and other foreign particles that could damage deeper structures such as your eardrum.
Well, we don't want that.
Yeah.
It's bad news.
Yeah.
You ever seen somebody bust their eardrum?
Nope.
Not pretty.
You know, it just hit me who Bear is. Bear is the pilot in airplane. You just be cruising right along. You ever been in a Turkish prison? You ever seen a grown man naked? You ever seen somebody bust out their eardrum? No, Bear. I haven't seen that.
Not this.
Take it, you have.
I knew. Forrest
here we go.
Diving in the swimming pool.
Yep.
After a tennis ball, and he smacked his ear. He came up, and like the stuff came out of his nose, and then he had no balance at all. It's like flopped over like a fish. It was disgusting.
Apparently, Pruitt on Feinbaum just moments ago said that some of his players who will play early in the season haven't had the chance to block and tackle in live scrimmages due to COVID or contact tracing.
Well, sure.
Cornbread.
That's
well,
good. That's a good sign.
I mean, how many practices has Wanya had, Trey?
I don't think he's going to play at this point. In the first game, anyway.
Wanya isn't?
No. I mean, he hasn't practiced yet. Jameer Johnson's gotten all the reps at left tackle. I think you play him. Like, if he can string together a couple of weeks of practice, then maybe that's one thing, but I mean, you can't put an offensive lineman out there. It's not like we're opening up against Charlotte or Georgia State. This is an SEC football game. We can't throw somebody out there who hasn't had live reps. Yeah, it's not going to be good. Kevin is next. Good afternoon, Kevin.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing this morning?
Doing well,
thanks. Afternoon. Well, I call in about once a year, and it is only when I am supremely confident on a particular matter that I call in. And, Russell, you should definitely not go to the doctor over your earwax.
Well, thanks, Kevin. I mean, I was thinking about it. After all, John Tweet, anytime he makes some sort of medical suggestion, I always take it to heart.
I went to the doctor just to get a physical last week, and it was terrible. I hadn't been in like 10 years to get a physical.
How old are you?
I'm 26.
Oh,
so,
okay. Yeah, yeah. I did that too. I went for my first physical like 30 or 31. It was like the first time I'd been to a doctor in over 10 years. So, you got to start going. You get into your late 20s, 30s, it's time to start going to the doctor again.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I get it, but
what do you need? Check your oil or something?
I don't know. I got a free checkup, and I had like 2 weeks left on my parents' insurance, so I had to.
They tell you to turn your head and cough?
No, I didn't even get that part.
Oh, that's not a physical. That's not a physical, Kevin. Call me back. Yeah. Call me back when you're in your 40s and the things they start doing to you then. Then we'll start talking about how uncomfortable a doctor's visit is, okay? Tell him, Bear.
Well,
tell him, Bear. Hey, Dr. Jellyfingers breaks out the rubber glove and starts lubing up. It's go time.
Oh, yeah. Well, feels like he's wearing a World Series ring. Awful.
Well, hey, I also am supremely confident that the hand-wringing over this South Carolina game is ridiculous. And I've got battered ball syndrome as bad as anybody else, but we are going to smack them in the mouth. And we're going to be laughing about, oh, we were so worried about, you know, the contact tracing. we're going to destroy them. And I don't know. That's just my two cents. See you guys.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to hear from you. I hope he's right. I hope he's right. I just don't know what to expect. I mean, our coach right now is not exactly projecting an air of confidence, all right? Every time he thought, well, had about half the team out again today. We got offensive linemen who ain't practiced all year. I don't even know if we can field a team at this point. Maybe we'll play one of our backup offensive linemen at quarterback. I don't know. Maybe he's just sandbagging. Maybe this is some of the, remember Lou Holtz used to come up, well, I don't even know if we can line up with these guys. Like, maybe he's just doing that thing. Maybe he's just trying to manage expectations. But he's got me a little scared. He's got me a little rattled. He told Feinbaum today, we're going to be playing guys early in the season who haven't blocked or tackled and practiced yet. I mean, it used to be like you had two-a-days where guys were like, they'd just line up and beat the crap out of each other for an entire month before the season. Are we, you know, this, you worry about what you saw in Navy, a team that can't tackle because they haven't practiced it and they're not ready. You worry about fumbles. You worry about an offensive line not being able to protect the quarterback, not being able to run. You worry about a lot of things. And maybe being alarmist, maybe Kevin's right. Maybe we're going to go out there and just slap them because they're going through the same thing we're going through. But I don't know. Got 10 days to find out. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the show, 546-8200. Quick timeout. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. Russell, Bear, and Trey cruising along with you, getting some pretty sound medical advice. I was told during the break we do need to put out a disclaimer that any medical advice or opinions you hear given on this show should, I won't even say be taken with a grain of salt. They should not be taken at all, okay? We're idiots. We're morons. If you have a serious medical issue, consult a serious doctor. Whatever you do, don't listen to Bear.
I mean, why would we? Whoa.
Don't listen to me. Yeah, don't listen to you. Don't listen to you. Please
I feel
don't.
Like I give sound medical advice.
Sure. I mean, I sometimes I can't tell if I'm talking to you or Dr. Fauci. One. I mean, it's just like the level of information, the level of knowledge and information. It's like it's Dave Hart-esque is what it is.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
Just go back to the phones.
I'm disgusted by you, Russ. I can't believe we'd have to put out a disclaimer, though. I figure people would just assume that we're dullards. Although I do give sound medical advice. I know what I'm talking about most of the time.
You have watched every episode of ER.
Twice.
David is next. Good afternoon, David. You're on the Drive.
Hey, Russell. Hey, Bear.
What's up?
Hey, is Trey around?
Trey, are you with us? Sometimes he is, sometimes he isn't. I never know.
Okay. Well, anyway, hey, guys, I was just curious if y'all know this information. Of all the COVID positive testing that we've had, whether at UT or across the SEC, do you know how many players or student-athletes have had to be hospitalized because of it? Or do y'all know any other numbers other than just this is how many kids have been positive? Is there any other details?
No. They're not releasing that information. So, I mean, I would guess that number is pretty small as far as, like, athletes that have been hospitalized. But that's just a guess.
So, but do you know if they would – you know, give out the information if they've been any deaths?
Yeah, I think that would become a public story. If, like, an SEC athlete or even I say, if
well, I mean, there was the one division two or three 20-year-old at that's horrible. I can't remember the young man's name.
Well, it was a really obscure college that nobody had ever heard of, and the player passed away, and that was, I don't want to say a big news story, but it was a news story. It went viral for a little bit. So, yeah, if you had a player at this level pass away, it would be major news.
So, do y'all know of any?
No.
I don't.
No.
But you don't think they would release the information if anybody had to go to the hospital because of it? You think they would
keep the information
private?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say probably not. I would say a story like that would probably leak. I mean, we'd hear about it. I don't think it would be publicized.
Well, I mean, you could release that information without releasing the kid's name or anything like that. I mean, you could just simply say patient X, you know.
I don't know of anybody that's been hospitalized, of any SEC or Power 5 conference athletes that have been hospitalized due to COVID.
Right. Well, I haven't either, and I've just been curious that nobody's brought that up, that, you know, we keep talking about these extreme number of positive cases, but if nobody's getting sick, then what are they really getting? I mean, what are they really catching? I mean, you see what I'm saying? I mean, we've got, like, you've got these – what was it, 1,200 students at Alabama in 2 days tested positive for COVID, but yet not a single student has went to the hospital? I mean,
I think
there's something wrong about what they're not telling us or what they are telling us. That's all I'm saying. I'm just curious if y'all have heard anything else that would support some of these, that, you know, some of these positive cases that we keep hearing. I was just curious. But anyway, I'll get off the phone and listen to you guys.
Thank you. David, go ahead, Trey.
It's not about the hospitalizations. It's about how to deal and manage your symptoms through this. Like, it doesn't get to a point where you need it. Trey Smith yesterday said that he is about as worried about COVID and his blood clots than the general public. Now, I don't know if that's a true statement or not, but I feel like each university is doing what's in their best interest to make sure these guys stay healthy and they're not taking it home. Here's where it's going to get interesting is when the players' parents show up next weekend, and that's when we're going to get things interesting, where the 50 to 60 to 70, 80-year-olds start showing up and hug all the players. That's when it'll get, you know, ramped up a little bit. We'll see.
Well, don't you think that the coaches, with as seriously as they're taking this and as upset as Jeremy Pruitt for one is, don't you think he'll tell his guys, it's like, look, I know y'all love your moms and your dads and you want to see, and they're going to be, evidently it sounds like they're going to be able to come to the games and everything. Don't go hugging your, like, I'm sorry, like, just wait until after the season. You can wait 3 months, right? You can wait to hug mama for 3 months. Like, tell them to wear masks. And you'll say hello to them and all that stuff, but I don't know. Is that being overly cautious? I feel like with as big a deal as they're making of this, I mean, it would, how bad would it suck to have you go play South Carolina, you're relatively healthy, and then a couple of dudes hug their mom who's been at home in Alpharetta, Georgia or whatever, and they end up passing the virus along, and next thing you know, that player's infected, and he infects his roommates, and now two other players are infected, and all of a sudden you got a real situation on your hand for the next game.
Well, that's what I found interesting with Florida when Dan Mullen talked about his case yesterday.
Yeah,
he had nine.
Is his wife still going to be kissing all the players when they get off the bus on the mouth?
God, that's creepy. That is so creepy.
Go Gator.
I mean, what would you guys do if your girlfriend or wife kissing all the players, your coach?
I'd be pissed.
I know what
though.
You do, Russ. You'd be whipping some ass.
I don't know. Maybe you kind of get off on it, you know? Maybe one of those, like,
watchers.
A watcher.
Here's the other thing to think about it. You guys just now, both
Dan Mullen likes to watch. Sorry,
worried about, you know, about football players catching it from their family. I'm saying, you know, what they found with young people is that a lot of them are just asymptomatic and shake it off. You know, you want to hug your mom, your dad, or your grandma and give COVID to them, and they're in a higher risk group, and they go home and, you know, spread it around the community, or, you know, I mean, the one thing everyone can agree on that's really dangerous when old people get this.
Here's the other problem. Tennessee has not had, like, a lot of positive cases. Tennessee has not had 35 positives, or like what Memphis has today with 44. Tennessee's had 6 or 7 here, you know, 4 or 5 here. They had one on Friday. They had, if I'm not mistaken, they had none on Sunday. So the problem is that a lot of the players haven't gotten it. They're just getting contact traced. So that's what's killing Tennessee, is you're not building up any kind of, you know, immunity from this thing. You're just being contact traced every time you turn around.
Yep. That seems to be the deal.
It's like Wanya, he hasn't had it, right?
No.
But he's been in contact tracing twice, so he's basically missed.
He was at the weight room yesterday working out while the players were on the field practicing.
But Pruitt did say, now, he did say that the players that are in contact tracing protocol, that they can't practice, but if they're not showing symptoms, he's saying, like, they can work out together, and they even have an area near the practice field where they can stand together and watch practice.
That's what I'm getting at. He doesn't have it. He's contact traced. That's why I brought that up, to prove that
he
doesn't have COVID. He's just getting traced. So he can go to the weight room and work out and all that good jazz while the other players are out in the field practicing.
But they have a guy that'll come and, like, wipe down the weights or something after he's through using them.
They have a person that's just in case in there with him. Yes, doing it. Yes.
Oh, he should be healthy and ready to go by the time he comes back. Fresh legs, you know. 865-546-8200. 546-8200. Coming up on your Rocky Top Report, brought to you by the Kregner Group. Jay Graham spoke today. Brian Niedermeyer, the Moose, spoke today with the media. We'll have highlights from that for you. Coming up next, stay with us. More Tennessee football talk coming up here on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio has made the switch. We are now a...
Rocky Top Report brought to you by Bo Kregner and the Kregner Group. They do real estate the right way. Visit BoKnowsHouses.com for more information. Tennessee football team back out on the practice field this week. Today?
Not today.
Several assistants met with the media, including, well, he was tight ends coach. He's now inside linebackers coach Brian Niedermeyer. Making the adjustment, says, I think it's been good. I think you get to spend a lot of time with your guys, a lot of meeting time, things like that, walking through things. Said you can really go into detail about specific techniques with the extra time they were given getting ready to play. Also said he thinks Jeremy Banks is doing well and could give them some extra depth this year. What are your thoughts on Brian Niedermeyer today, Trey? That's an under-talked about storyline, him moving from offense to defense this fall.
I'll give you my thoughts on Niedermeyer. Very, very short talker. Does not really like doing interviews.
Not the loquacious type?
No, he goofs around a little bit, but he just doesn't give any answers. Like, somebody asked him about how Crouch is doing, and he goes, yep, he's doing good. That was his answer. But he did speak highly of Jeremy Banks. He said Jeremy Banks is coming on. He's learning everything. He's a player that goes out there every day and gives it his all. He's very violent, he says. So that's a good thing to know when he gets on the field. But Brian Niedermeyer, he's very outgoing in public, but not outgoing in media sessions.
Yeah, I mean, he's our best recruiter. He's got to be a better talker than – what about Jay Graham – running backs coach back in Knoxville again, his second time. Let's hope he stays around a little longer this go around. What did the running backs coach have to say?
Yeah, Jay Graham talked about D. Beckwith today. He said D has done a really good job. He had an understanding when he moved over, and he's done well with it. For a taller guy, he has the athleticism to play the position. That is on D. Beckwith moving to running back.
Do we think Beckwith is actually going to play this year? I mean, we're in trouble if it gets to that, right?
I think Beckwith is going to get looks in different formations that are run just for him out of the backfield.
Really?
I don't think he's going to be an every down back, but he's going to be.
You think he gets carries against South Carolina?
I think in different formations he could get carries.
Huh.
If they try to switch things up, go to Wildcat, something like that, yes, I think Deke Beckwith is your Wildcat guy.
Really?
Like Juwan Jennings was.
Interesting.
Well, yeah, because of his frame. Yeah, I mean, here's the thing what Tennessee's doing at the running back spot. They've got multiple wide receivers that are lining up in the running back position off to the right or the left of Garantana. I know Velas has done that. I know Holiday has tried to do that if he was ever out there at practice, not having to deal with contact tracing. But they're trying multiple different formations out to try to throw the defenses off of the other teams. Yeah.
I just feel like this year, if Garantano has the handle on the system that the coaches are saying that he has, and we've got the offensive line, like I don't see the need to get cute and do Wildcat formations, especially with a bunch of freshmen back there. Like, I get it. Last year, our quarterback play was floundering, and we had this special guy in Jennings that you want the ball in his hands because he's a great player. I don't know that those situations are the same this year. I just feel like you give the ball to Chandler and Gray as much as you can, and then you throw it to your wide receivers. Keep it simple.
Well, he also talked about Eric Gray today. He said him and Eric Gray, they are trying to find that ceiling. He is a very intelligent young man. He's talented and elusive. He has to work to find his limit. The sky's the limit, pretty much, is what he's saying for Eric Gray. Jay Graham also.
Ceiling is the roof.
Yep, ceiling is the roof. He talked about freshman running backs T. Hodge and Jabari Small. Said both of these guys are more mature than your average freshman. Those guys have really taken instruction to heart. They're working hard and studying. Jabari is a talented young man. So is T. Hodge.
There you have it. Your Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. Bo Craigner knows houses, and Bo knows that selling your house can be a stressful situation. Lucky for you, Bo knows how to design a marketing plan that takes the pressure off your shoulders so that you can get your house sold and move on to your next home. Visit BoKnowsHouses.com to find out more. That's BoKnowsHouses.com or call 865-742-1035 to set up a free consultation. That's 742-1035, Bo Craigner and the Craigner Group, Real Estate the Right Way. Looking ahead towards hour number three, we're going to have your top five at five. Plus, I want to get into this a little bit. The situation up at Kentucky is interesting with Joey Gatewood, the former five-star quarterback who's transferred there. He's trying to get immediate eligibility, very similar to the situation Tennessee is going through with Cade Mays. The story this week out of Kentucky is that there is a quote-unquote gentleman's agreement. This has been reported by multiple sources, so I know it sounds weird, but there's a lot of smoke here. So there's a gentleman's agreement that Auburn will go to bat for the Gatewood kid with the understanding that if he's eligible, they won't play him against Auburn. Kentucky and Auburn, coincidentally, just so happen to open the season against each other in 10 days. So, like, if you're Kentucky, you go ahead and take that deal, right? You get a quarterback, and you just have to sit him for the first game. Okay, we got our five-star quarterback after that. It's all good. You go and take that. Makes sense to me. If you're Jeremy Pruitt, do you try to cut a similar deal with Kirby Smart for Cade Mays?
No.
Do you go to Kirby Smart, who you know you might not be on great terms with, but there's a relationship there, and say, look, What do we need to do here? Like, you guys go tell me what it's going to take. Do we sit him for the game against you guys, the first three games? Like, what can we do to get Cade Mays eligible? What do we have to do to get you to go to bat for him, write him a recommendation to the NCAA, the SEC, to say, hey, we want this kid to be eligible this year? Talk about that coming up in hour number three. Stay with us. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way. Back with more after this.
The Drive.